Hello and welcome to Automators, the automation podcast about grabbing your technology and encouraging it to do your bidding for you. My name is Rosemary Orchard and I'm joined as always by my pal and co-host David Sparks. Hey David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rose. Looking forward to today getting into some fun automation with you as always.
Yeah, we thought today we would do a little combination of two things because we get a lot of feedback here on the show and we do, you know, our absolute best to read it all. There is a lot of it sometimes and it's really lovely to see all of that. We've had some feedback recently about smart home things in particular, and we thought that today's episode would be a good opportunity to talk about some of that feedback that we've had and also how we are integrating some of this in our own homes and lives, maybe to give some of you ideas and, you know, maybe just to share some alternatives with everybody.
Yeah, HomeKit and home automation is something that a lot of people are always looking into. And it's something that's always changing a bit. So I thought it would just be fun to do a little catch up. I'm going to start. I bought something that has helped. One of the big questions we get from guests and listeners is, I just want the lights to turn on when I walk in the room and lights to turn off when I leave the room. That is a very common request. I think for a lot of people, that's kind of like the gateway drug to automation, you know, make it so the lights turn on, you know, and I think that's a fair request. Mm-hmm. But historically, we haven't had really great answers for that because, like, you know, an infrared detection would be one, you know, where you look for the person walking through the room, but the problem would be if you sat still in a room long enough, it would forget you're there. And, you know, there's lots of different attempts we've made. Rose had a motion sensor on the bottom of her chair to kind of try and remind the room that she was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These human presence sensors have got pretty good over the years. And so recently I bought the latest from Akara. It's the Zigbee Presence Sensor FP1E. Now, this one, they had the FP2, which is more powerful, and the FP1E is less expensive. I think I paid like $40 for it on Amazon, and it's still a great human presence sensor, and this solves that problem of when someone comes in the room. You need to have, if you're using it on HomeKit, you need to have an Akara hub because the HomeKit has to see the Akara hub to bring the sensor into your system. If you're using something like Home Assistant, you can plug it directly and you don't need the Akara hub for that. But my experience with it has been great. I do have an Akara hub. I connected it through HomeKit just because I feel like that's the thing most people are going to want to do. And when I walk in the room, the lights turn on. When I walk out of the room, the lights turn off. The only downside for me is there's one little corner of the room where I go over to like pull a bin out and I'm out of the view and then the lights turn out. And because I'm running it through HomeKit, I don't have enough granular control. Now, if I had run this thing through Home Assistant, I could say, wait 5 minutes before you turn the lights out, and then I wouldn't have that problem. And that's the thing I need to do is switch it over to Home Assistant. But I wanted to start with the easy one because I think a lot of people listening don't want to go all the way down the Home Assistant rabbit hole. You have HomeKit already. You're good to go. If you buy one of these presence sensors, the FP1E, along with one of the Akara hubs, you should be good to go. And that is a simple answer to the question, how do I make my lights turn on and off when I come in and leave the room?
Yeah. And this is a lot better than just your standard basic average motion sensor, which some of those you can get for as little as, say, $10, including ones from Akara, which, you know, you would think, oh, $10, that's great. Let's start with that. But the problem with those is if you've ever been in a public bathroom and you've been in there and then the lights have gone off, because it's just very, very reactive to, oh, there's nobody here, I'm turning this off. And it's like, okay, great. Now I'm sitting in the dark and you're sitting there waving your arms in the bathroom, trying to get the lights to turn back on so you can see to find the toilet paper or something. That's the problem with IR. It only is looking for motion rather than presence. And that is the difference, because you can actually, with human presence, you can even tune it to go through walls and so on, but it can detect that somebody, for example, is lying in bed asleep. You know, the FP1E is an improvement over the FP1, which I have a couple of the FP1s, and I've spent quite a bit of time playing with them and tuning them to get them right, because you can control, there's a sort of grid that goes out from the sensor, And so you can say, hey, within a range, you know, a low, medium, or far distance, and what kind of motion, you know, is it a small amount of motion will trigger this, or a medium amount of motion, or a large amount of motion to trigger this, to make it see a human. So, you know, if you've got cats, for example, cats may be a bad example, because cats will be everywhere they're not supposed to be. If you have a dog, especially a small dog that does not jump, then you could say, okay, let's ignore the floor area. Or a robot vacuum. Robot vacuum is perhaps an even better example, because that definitely shouldn't be jumping around. Then you can say, ignore the bottom area of the grid and just go for everything from sort of knee height upwards. Because then it's going to ignore your robot vacuum. Your robot vacuum is not going to trigger the lights at any point, but then everything else will, which is great. I mean, then if you've got crawling children, you may have to figure out something for that. But usually if you've got crawling children, you'll probably be with said crawling children. So it's really nice that there are options to play with this and tune it. But the FP1E, you don't have to do a lot of that to get that working. Whereas the FP1, there was a lot more required to get it working. It was, you know, the first one that Akara released. And versus the FP2, this one, you know, it does require the hub instead of working over Wi-Fi. But that also means it's not clogging up your Wi-Fi network. So yeah, that's definitely an improvement, at least in my eyes, from that side of things. And it's fully local. The FP1E doesn't have things like light detection, and I don't believe it has specific sleep and fall monitoring. So just like your Apple Watch has fall detection built in, the FP2 does have fall detection. And I actually just got one of those, David. So I'm going to have to do a little experimentation, because I am hoping actually to set this up in my grandmother's living room for her, so that if she does fall over in the living room, it can detect it and then send my mom a message to let her know, to help us, because she mentioned that she's not been feeling so great on her feet recently. And if I can get this working, then this seems like a really great option, so that, you know, it can automatically text my mom and say, hey, you know, that she's fallen over, you might want to check in. And then if my mom doesn't get a response, then she can call for help for something like that. So it's good to see that there's multiple options out there.
Yeah, and they're just getting really easy. Like you were talking about dogs and robot vacuums. I didn't do any settings or anything on this. My dog will walk in here and it does not turn on the lights. It requires a human. And so that's perfect. That's great. So this is getting easier. And I feel like that one question that we hear so often, I think if somebody asks me in the future, I'm going to say a car FP1E plus a hub, and then you're off to the races.
Yes, especially as the hub is a gateway to all the other Akara products as well, which are usually very affordable.
Yeah, because the leak sensors, there's a lot of reasons to get that hub, especially if you're just in HomeKit. This always brings up for me the challenge of, do I move more stuff into Home Assistant? Like, you know, the thing I said earlier about, this does turn the lights off if I'm in one tiny corner of the room. Now, all I would need to do is have a setting that said, leave it on for 5 minutes before you turn off, because I'm never in that corner more than 5 minutes. And that is absolutely doable with something like Home Assistant. But then my whole family is got HomeKit figured out. They're not technical and they love HomeKit. And I don't want to do anything to break that, because if it stops working for them, then I got a problem. So it's like, I'm always so leery of moving more stuff into Home Assistant, but this is one that does tempt me, because I feel like there's one little additional feature that HomeKit doesn't have that Home Assistant does. And I do have a Home Assistant device here, so I could do it, but you know, I do worry about, you know, breaking things.
Yeah, I mean, what I've done and what I would encourage people to do if they are looking at going down the Home Assistant path is, you know, by all means, start small. But ideally, what you should be doing, at least in my mind, is setting everything up in Home Assistant and then sharing it back to HomeKit. Because then in Home Assistant, if something happens or doesn't happen, you can look at, you know, that individual thing and see, oh, there was a request from HomeKit to turn this off. That's why that light is off, because HomeKit turned it off. Yeah. So you can still have your HomeKit automations and so on running, and so on. And nobody else in the family has to use Home Assistant. That's the thing. You know, ideally, you know, you'd at some point maybe get them to install the app on their phone so that you could do presence detection for them via Home Assistant and see, you know, where they are. But even if not, then there's ways around that with Home Assistant and the smart home stuff.
The more complicated I make it for them, though, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but you don't have to go down that route. You can just start with, you know, pulling one thing. And especially because you use Lutron lights, you can connect the Lutron lights to Home Assistant and HomeKit. So you have both options available there.
There's a family thing where Daisy and the girls are leaving town for a weekend in a few months. And maybe that's what I'll do it. I'll just really restructure everything. I don't know. It's something that weighs on me because as a nerd, I kind of want the Home Assistant extra features. But like I said, they, you know, it took a long time to get this to a point where they embraced it, but they have, you know, and, you know, my wife loves it. She can turn the air conditioning out on the way home, or we can be upstairs in bed and make sure the doors are locked and all that stuff. I just don't want, if I break that, then I've done, it's kind of like the Apple Maps situation of the household, right? Once it doesn't work once, then you've got to like regain their trust. And if I add the complexity of Home Assistant, I can completely see me doing that in a way that causes a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That is always the tricky bit. But you mentioned air conditioning, David, and we actually had some feedback about air conditioning from James. James said, listening to the show, we were talking about the Broadlink Smart IR Blaster. And James uses the Black Akara Hub, which actually also ties into what we were just talking about, because that also has an IR blaster built into it. And that works quite well with HomeKit directly, which is good to know because I tried it and it was a bit finicky, but it was also trying to control a 10-year-old TV at the time. And it didn't have that TV in the database and things got very, very wonky very quickly. But James is using the Akara Hub. So that's the M2 Hub, which is available from Apple and from Akara and through Amazon. And it's operating his TV and air conditioning unit quite nicely. And that's pretty good to hear, just, you know, as a potential addition to what David was suggesting there with the FP1E. But it's also just good to hear that that is working. And I have a little addition to the Broadlink adapter that I'm using because I've got a Broadlink adapter in my kitchen to control my kitchen TV, which for reasons I still don't quite understand, the previous owners replaced the front of one of my kitchen cabinets with a television. This thing is probably 7-8 centimeters deep, so like 3 inches deep, which means I lose a lot of valuable cabinet space. And my kitchen is minuscule. But there is a TV built in there. Unfortunately, the TV is now of such an age and the remote control is one of those materials that's just gone really gummy over time. And it's absolutely horrible. And I never want to touch it, let alone when I'm in the kitchen doing things like cooking and so on, because I can't really clean it anymore. So I got a Broadlink and I put that in the kitchen. And so now I can ask Siri to turn my TV on and turn my TV off and so on, which is pretty cool. And that works very well for me. But I also spotted something else recently, David, because you mentioned just now getting Daisy and your girls on board with smart home stuff took a while. And for a lot of people, they're very familiar with having things like a remote control to control, say, air conditioning and fans and televisions and so on. And if you try and take that away from them, there will be a revolt, very understandably. Yeah. But what I realized recently that I want is I have a tower fan in my bedroom, which is great when it gets a bit warm here in the UK. I don't really need air conditioning, to be honest. My place usually stays fairly cool. But every so often it does get quite warm and I have a tower fan that, you know, I just run when, you know, when I want to. But this did not come with a remote control. It's from Princess. So it uses the Home Wizard Climate app to be controlled. And unfortunately, when I bought it, I kind of thought that I could get everything into Home Assistant because I hadn't really started using Home Assistant at the time. And it's a bit of a pain to get this one into Home Assistant. So that was a bit of a no-go. But I discovered recently whilst browsing around the internet that Switchbot, which are the people, they make curtain controls that you can clip onto curtain rods and rails and blind tilts. And they've branched out into smart locks and robot vacuums and all sorts of other things recently. They've added a new product to their lineup, which is the Switchbot remote. And I already had a Switchbot hub in my bedroom because I have Switchbot curtains in there. And I remembered, oh, the Switchbot hub has an IR blaster built into it as well. That's pretty cool. Let's give this a try. So I put this, so I started playing around and my fan was not listed as an option. And so I thought I was kind of at a dead end. And I reached out to Princess to see if I could buy, there is an actual remote control that you can buy, but I didn't really want to pay 20 euros for a remote control. And then they couldn't even ship it to the UK. It was a whole thing. And so I was just messing around, selecting random fans in the Switchbot app. And I'm not going to say that this is the way to go, but if you ever have a fan where you've lost the remote control for it, or you want to smartify it, you may find that you can use Broadlink or Switchbot, or if you've got an old Logitech Harmony floating around at home, they don't make them anymore, but they still work. Then you may find that if you just select random things that are quite similar, you may find something that actually has all the controls for your device. And I found one for my fan where it can work through the Switchbot hub. So I then bought the Switchbot remote, which allows you to have four different devices on it. It's got physical on and off buttons, and then it's got it can control more than four devices. But then you can press the buttons on the remote control to make things happen, which is great when I'm mostly asleep and the fan is bothering me or I'm too hot. Then I can just press the on button or the off button, assuming I've left it in the fan mode, to control the fan in my room without having to either get my phone out and find the app and control it through the app, or get up and press the buttons on top of the tower fan itself. So I'm going to give a recommendation for the Switchbot remote. And I have the mini hub in my bedroom, but I also have the Switchbot 2 hub in my office, which is the Matter one. And that works pretty well as well. So some options there for folks.
Yeah. And I have one more. If you are just looking to control like a mini split AC system, there is a specific product on Amazon called...
Is it the Broadlink by any chance?
No, Misa Smart Thermostat for mini split. And it works with most of them.
Nice.
And it's a thermostat on the wall that shows the temperature and an up and down arrow. Comes with an app, and it has an IR blaster in it, as I understand it. I don't own one, but I've been told by several people they work with just about them all. And that's another way to put the control onto your device. One piece of follow up I wanted to see, Rose, was we talk about Akara a lot. Since the last time we talked about Akara, has released a new product, the M3 Hub. The M2 Hub was the state of the art last time we covered them, and so they've got the new M3 Hub. It is more Matter friendly, I guess I would say.
Yes.
The other one got Matter support through an update. This one has Matter support built right in. It's power over Ethernet. I don't know how many devices it supports. I'm assuming they upped the number of devices that it supports with the M3 hub. Two-way IR blaster for better detection and synchronization. So this kind of gets back to what we were talking about. Like, you could put one of these in a room where you needed an IR blaster, like for a television or an air conditioner or ceiling fan, and program it. And as I understand it, you could put that straight into HomeKit. You don't have to go through Home Assistant to make it work, as you do with Broadlink. So that's a pretty nice looking piece of kit, $130 if you want to update it. I guess there's really no reason you couldn't run two of these hubs on your network at the same time.
No, and also the way that the Matter setup works with Home Assistant, for folks who are curious, is you configure something in HomeKit and then you share it to Home Assistant. That's how Matter setup for devices works, that is definitely something that is worth considering for folks who are looking to get into this stuff and maybe get some of the more advanced controls and options. And the only thing I will say about Matter is, because I recently made a mistake, David. I needed a replacement smart plug with energy monitoring because one of mine met with an unfortunate end.
Okay.
I apparently have a cat. I don't have a cat, but there is a cat that likes to come in through my kitchen window. So one of my motion sensors took a bath in the sink because I'd left a bowl soaking overnight and the motion sensor got knocked into the sink. Fortunately, the motion sensor survived. And that was all well and good, but my dishwasher is plugged into a smart energy monitoring plug. So there's a cable running from under a counter up onto another counter and around into the dishwasher. And I don't know what Kitty was doing. Kitty was being mischievous, one presumes. But Kitty decided that it was going to play with this cable in some way. The smart plug ended up falling out or being pulled out, which is quite an impressive feat. These like UK plugs won't just fall out of their sockets when you look at them. You have to pull pretty damn hard. So Kitty must have been practicing, I don't know, strength training, pull-ups, chin-ups. I don't know. But I'm blaming Kitty at any rate, because I definitely, like, whenever I'm going under there to, you know, tidy up and clean up, I always make sure everything's plugged in properly, because it is plugged into an extension lead, because my kitchen has exactly three power sockets in it for reasons unknown. But yeah, this, and it ended up in a pool of water where I had made a rather egregious error with some smart watering for my plants, and I had massively overwatered them for a couple of days. And I decided after that I wasn't going to use it. So I bought a new smart plug with energy monitoring. Only I didn't realize that energy monitoring is not yet supported in the Matter spec. So it was a Matter smart plug with energy monitoring, but energy monitoring is not available yet through Matter, which meant that the energy monitoring didn't show up in HomeKit, didn't show up in Home Assistant, didn't show up anywhere I had access to. So I ended up having to return it and buy something else instead. So that's the only thing I will mention when it comes to things saying, we've got Matter support. The hub and the device may have Matter support, but all the specifications and features of it may not have that yet. And hopefully it will soon. But as we all know with various things, soon does not always equal definitely will.
Yeah, yeah. Still waiting for that on a few of my devices. On my Eufy doorbell. That was supposed to get HomeKit support 5 years ago. Still haven't got there.
Yep.
Are you sure it's a cat, not a ghost? I mean, you live in England.
I mean, it would be a pretty impressive poltergeist, to be honest. Yeah. But no, Kitty has definitely made their presence known in my kitchen. Usually because I wander into my kitchen going, huh, why is everything slightly, and then there's meow. With a kitty cat rubbing itself around my ankles. It's like, oh, hi, it's you again. Fortunately, Kitty is very well behaved when I pick Kitty up and then put Kitty back outside. I'm not exactly certain where Kitty lives, but based on the fact that Kitty's letting themselves in through my kitchen window, I figure putting the kitty back outside the kitchen window is fine. I do shut the kitchen window before putting Kitty back outside, because otherwise Kitty is going to come straight. No, I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl, to be honest. I haven't checked. It's not the kind of inspection that I usually do with something that I'm merely acquainted. But either way, you know, we seem to be getting on well. I'm making a new friend. And, you know, I've repositioned some smart, sensors in my kitchen so that they are now in cat-proof positions, which is not something I thought I would be doing before I owned a cat. But there you go. A cat owns me.
Yeah, there you go. So we heard from Peter about smart USB lights. Regarding power some LEDs with a power bank and smart USB plug discussion, some power banks don't support pass-through powering while charging. Don't know the anchor stuff, but worth considering. Some power banks don't work with really low power devices. Again, don't know about anchor. How much power does the Wi-Fi connected smart USB plug itself use? More than the LEDs on a Christmas tree? If so, it might be better just to keep them on. Yeah, this is back, kind of goes back to last holiday season, where I had some LEDs on a little bonsai, and I was looking to try and figure a way to power them automatically, even though they just were running off batteries.
Yes, and in my case, even if technically powering the USB smart plug uses more power than the LEDs, I still want to do it, because otherwise I have to make sure that I close all of the doors in my apartment before I go to bed. Because otherwise, if there is a light on in another room, I will be able to see it from my bedroom. Just that's the way that the reflections and doors positionings and so on work. And I do prefer to keep my bedroom window open, because I have the Netatmo. I can't remember which one it is. It's the rose gold one, which is an indoor room sensor, and it does things like monitoring carbon dioxide levels. If I do not leave my bedroom door open, the carbon dioxide levels in my bedroom get very high overnight, and I have a tendency to wake up with a headache. So I prefer to leave my bedroom door open rather than leaving it closed, which seems like a good solution to the problem. But the consequence of that is I have to make sure the other lights in my apartment are off before I go to bed, when I go to bed, because otherwise they will keep me awake. The USB smart plugs that I've tried are very low power. And I also just bought some Zigbee ones, David, which I'm going to be trying out in the not too distant future.
I think, Rose, you need to figure out why you have carbon dioxide building up in your room at night. That's not good. You know?
Well, no, it's very simple. There is no ventilation if the windows and doors are shut.
Okay,
gotcha. Like, you know, it's not completely airtight, but we don't have central air here in the UK. That's not a thing. So there aren't vents in my room or anything. So I have to leave either the window or the door open, or ideally both. But especially in winter, when, you know, the sort of season where it would be more typical for me perhaps to have seasonal lighting around, that's not really something that I can do, leaving the window open, because it will get very, very cold very, very quickly. The solution to this problem is to leave the door open in my bedroom, and then I have air circulation and it's fine.
But to answer Peter's question, Rose had recommended a Wi-Fi device that would allow me to address it and turn lights mm-hmm. off and on in that little wireless mix. I looked it up, and I think this was, we recorded that show like in November, and the first availability for shipping was like March, and I wanted it for the holiday season, so I didn't bother. And I just did what Peter said at the end of his note. I just left them on, and I replaced the batteries two or three times in February, and that was that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I bought some new ones, which are Zigbee ones, so I'm going to be trying those out. And we will have to see. But fingers crossed, because when I looked the other day, the Wi-Fi ones were available again. So fingers crossed they will be available for you this year, David, so that you can have a play with them at the very least.
Somewhat feedback. I had someone spilt a glass of water in the bathroom, and it set off the Acara leak alarm, you know. And
so that's good.
You know, you put those in there, like 10 or 15 bucks. You stick them in all your rooms that have pipes, and you forget about them. And I have got mine hooked up through the M2 hub into HomeKit. And with HomeKit, it just lights up every phone in the network, you know, basically. So, you know, it really lets you know there's a leak. And I had kind of forgot they were there. But, you know, it was kind of a nice reminder that, yeah, those things are still looking out for a leak.
And, oh, yeah.
I need to check them. I don't know if they need batteries replaced at some point. They've been there for a couple of years now. But
they're very low power, so they only really phone home periodically just to say, hey, I'm still alive, and this is kind of my battery percentage. And other than that, it's things like water connecting the contacts that makes them wake up and go, here's a problem. So the battery does last a pretty long time. I've had to replace the battery in mine now, but I've been here for 4 years. So that seems quite reasonable to me. I probably got about 3 years on the battery on it. But my parents have them in their place in France, because they're not there half the time. And it's really great for them, because they did get an alert a couple of months ago that there was a leak in the utility room next to the washing machine. And it turned out the washing machine had created a little puddle on the floor. Apparently it wasn't very well litter box broken. But the good news is my dad cleaned out the filter on the washing machine, which they thought they'd been cleaning out properly, but it turned out there was a corner and there was some lint stuck around the corner, which caused it to start leaking a little bit. But either way, that's all cleaned out and there is no leak anymore. But it worked. They were very concerned when they got this alert, you know, about half an hour after my mama put on a washing cycle. But they were fortunately there at the time, so they were able to deal with it. But it is just nice to have that peace of mind of, oh, right, okay, something is leaking and I know about it, rather than unexpectedly getting home and discovering, oh, there's water everywhere.
The next step for that, if you're really interested, is to install a water main shutoff that is addressable via automation. Mm-hmm. And those exist. I have never done it, but I keep thinking about it. Every year or so, I look on, you know, Amazon and the usual shopping sites to see, you know, what the options are. Mm-hmm. And they've never looked that impressive to me, but I think at some point I do want to put one of those in, you know. So like if your parents' place in France got the alarm, they could push a button and it would turn off the main, at least until mm-hmm. somebody could check it out and make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah, well, IKEA in Sweden, actually, as part of their smart home stuff, sells a Zigbee water shutoff, because I believe it's something to do with Swedish building regulations, where dishwashers have to have a water shutoff running to them on the pipe that runs to them. And IKEA made a smart one. I'm not sure if it's still available. It certainly was a few years ago when I was looking into it, because I was very curious if I could buy it and have it installed over here. And what I discovered over here is if I installed it, I would then still have to have a manual one next to it. And there just is not space in that cabinet. Like, that cabinet barely has space for one at the moment. So I ended up not going down that route, but it would certainly be worth investigating that and experimenting with this sort of thing. If, of course, you live somewhere where you're able to experiment with this yourself, or you have the skills and knowledge and certifications to do so.
Yeah, the big one here is the Moen right now, M-O-E-N, and it's $400. I mean, it's a real deal piece of equipment, but it's got an app, and I don't know that it's HomeKit or Home Assistant
friendly. Aren't they the people that made the smart home shower? I feel like I remember them making a smart home shower and being very confused as to what it was.
Well, they're a plumbing accessory company, at least in the U.S. They make faucets and all sorts of things. And but they've made a HomeKit, I'm sorry, not HomeKit, but a smartphone addressable water main valve that's not cheap at $400, and you'd probably have to pay a plumber to properly install it. But, you know, the next time I'm flush with cash, I may do this, because I have so many friends that have had that where, like, they go on vacation and something, you know, pops off in the house, and then they have a $30,000 bill to get it fixed because, you know, water can do a lot of damage, especially if it's on the second floor. So yeah, this is something I may look into at some point.
Yeah, that sounds like a very smart idea to at least investigate the option. You know, depending on where you live and so on, you may have the option of having other people pop in if you have something like that and turning it off for you. But it's nice to have at least the idea of being able to turn it off automatically.
The only thing I don't like about it is that it seems like there's a lot of plastic on it for something that's that important. And Amazon gets me, by the way, because right next to it, they're selling the earthquake gas shutoff valve. I'm like, oh man, I'd have to buy both of these.
Yeah. Yeah. For you, I can imagine in particular, you would definitely want both of those.
All right. What about your intercom? I know you've been working on that lately.
Yeah. So I've had a Nuki intercom. That's N-U-K-I. I believe it's supposed to be pronounced Noki, actually, because it's no key. They do smart locks and a variety of other things, HomeKit compatible as well as others. I bought their smart intercom option. It was the Nuki opener. Now, it does seem to be available on their website, but it's not available on Amazon anymore. But I noticed a bit of a problem a while ago, which is that it was not appearing in my smart home setup. And it was showing us offline in the Nuki app. And I was there going, huh, there's something weird about this. Maybe it just ran out of battery and I need to charge it again. Well, I charged it and put it back and it worked for like an hour. And then it died. And I thought, okay, maybe I didn't charge it for long enough. Left it on charge. Forgot about it for an extra day or so. So it was definitely fully charged. Put it back and it worked for an hour. And then it stopped working. So I concluded that this piece of technology probably died. Now, I had it for at least 3 years or so, and you know, it did get used fairly intensively at times. So I started hunting around for other options, which is when I discovered it was no longer available on Amazon. And it's kind of tricky actually to find something that integrates with an existing intercom system where I mean, I probably could get away with replacing the handset on the wall, but at the same time, I don't really want to replace the handset on the wall. The handset on the wall is fine as it is. I don't really want to mess with it. I just wanted to add something that gave me the option to control it smartly as well. So I have replaced this with a Ring intercom because I already have a Ring doorbell anyway. They tie in together. It works. It's fine. They have decent batteries in them. You pop the battery out and you leave the device where it is, unlike the Nuki where I had to take the physical device off the wall every time to go and then plug it in to charge it and then take the whole device back and plug it back in. The device remains plugged in, you just take the battery out, which is an improvement as far as I'm concerned. So I got that. And then I went down a bit of a rabbit hole, David, because if I'm at home and a parcel is being delivered and somebody buzzes my intercom, I don't want to have to get up and go buzz the intercom. So I put you know, a couple of buttons, smart buttons in various places so I can hit it and buzz somebody in. But I thought, you know what? Parcels, the delivery tracking app that is my app of choice, has a calendar. And Home Assistant recently got calendar integration where you can get calendars. So I managed to get the calendar into Home Assistant. And now if somebody buzzes the intercom, it checks if there is something on that calendar for today. And if there is, and I'm home, it'll just buzz them into the building. And this basically means that if somebody buzzes it, it will just automatically let them into the building if I'm home. Assuming it's a delivery person rather than, you know, somebody I'm not expecting or a delivery is expected today. And it's working really well because, you know, I don't have to get up and run to the intercom anymore and deal with any of that. It just works. And I'm very impressed with it, I have to say. It's very smooth. It's quite a large device, sadly. It is about as large as the phone, it feels like. It's not as large as the phone. The phone obviously is an oblong and this is more square. But it's working incredibly well. And I'm really impressed with it. So if anybody's got an intercom in their apartment building and just wants to make it smart, it would be worth looking into the Ring intercom. I don't have a Ring subscription for this. I'm just using this without the Ring subscription. And it's working really well.
Well, Rose, that is what I love about you, that you would figure that Rube Goldberg system out and actually make it work. I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's working for me. And I don't know that it would definitely work for anybody else. But I thought I had to give it a try with getting it paired to the Parcels app through the calendar and so on. Just sure. Because this is the sort of thing where, especially if you are expecting to like the intercom to ring, do you want to have to get up and go press the buttons? Not really, no. That's an extra chunk of, like, depending on how big your apartment is and the layout of your apartment and so on. In my case, it literally takes me from next to the front door to about as far away in my apartment as I can get from the front door. And then I have to run back to the front door to answer for the parcel. Whereas as it is, if somebody buzzes the intercom, I can just get up and go to the front door without having to go via the intercom. And I can open the door and take my parcel from the person. Yeah. So that works for me. And that works really well.
All right. Well, there are some HomeKit and home automation updates. Hopefully we've inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are at the beginning of that journey and you're looking for the thing, turn the lights on when I come in the room and turn them off when I leave, check it out. I have spent money while Rose was talking. I ordered an Akara M3 hub. I want to compare them so I can report in on it. I'm doing it for science, Rose. I'm doing it for science.
I think that that's a very acceptable thing to do, David. Well done.
I'm also thinking that if I can put it into the HomeKit network, I can put it in the room with the ceiling fan and the TV and the IR blaster thing and actually get my family using that. That will be a win for me if I can pull that off. So I've got an ulterior motive. But either way, there we go. We are the Automators. You can find us over at relay.fm/automators. Sorry, I had a little bit of a cold this week, so thanks for hanging in there with my voice. We're going to do Automators Max today. If you are an Automators Max subscriber, you get the ad-free extended version of the show. Kind of on the automation theme, I'm thinking about making some purchases for some holiday automation. I want to get Rose's advice. She's always up to date on this stuff, so we're going to talk about that. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, folks.